Over a year ago, a friend sent me a story about losing his cat. Said maybe you could use this somehow. Well, I tend, especially when the story is really interesting, I tend to procrastinate a whole lot, and I just let it set without doing anything about it. And finally I thought, well, you know, I think in order for us to be true to the heart of the story, we need to fictionalize some of the circumstances. So a lot of the stuff about the characters that you'll hear is from other sources. It's sort of the window dressing, but the basic facts, and I hope the heart of it, are true.
So we finished the piece, but then we had a completely different problem. After all, after doing a piece about the loss of a child, is it really appropriate or is it jarring to do something about the loss of a pet? Does that imply a comparison between the value of those two things, a comparison between the degree of loss? We make this mistake with kids. They lose a pet, the kid is crying, absolutely desolate, and we say, don't worry, we'll get you another one.
And the idea of an adult in actual deep grief for a creature, well, some people do understand that, but not too many of us.
What's the appropriate measure to compare the relative depth of a loss, and should there even be a measure?
Well, if you're an insurance company, I guess it's the dollar value or earning potential, IQ level. I think it really comes down to the depth of the love and the connection. The heart that knows how to love doesn't measure it out by the quarter inch. And so any story of loss has got to be also a story of love, and to some degree a celebration of our capacity to love.
This is Abby.
So the problem is what?
So what's happening, if I just keep hitting the system with bad requests, it runs okay for about an hour, and then I just can't open any sockets.
Yeah, you sure you're not just leaving the stream open and it's running out of file handles?
No, you asked me that. I said no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You look kind of distracted.
I lost my cat.
Oh, well, they usually come back.
No, it died, I mean.
Oh, well, so anyways, it's not leaking memory, and I'm definitely closing all the sockets.
Hello?
Hi, Mom, it's me. How's things? How's Dad?
Well, he's better. The doctor changed the prescription. I knew there was something screwy there. Don't get me started. How are you? How's your girlfriend? What's her name, Marianne?
Oh, no, she's history. No, I was calling to say Abby died.
Abby?
My cat.
Oh, that's so sad, honey. I know how you love that cat. I know how that is. That's really hard. You ought to get a Siamese. We had some Siamese before you were born, and your dad got an allergy, so we couldn't keep them, but I think they're so beautiful. I think you'd really like a Siamese. You know, they were just so comforting to me.
That'll be $27.42. Paper or plastic?
Plastic's okay.
28.
My cat died.
30, 40. What did you say?
I just needed to tell somebody. My cat died.
Oh, man, I know how you feel. I had a parakeet named Sylvia once. Except, you know, he's a boy. I don't know why I called him Sylvia. And he got out of his cage, and, well, I got three cats, and, well, you know, he didn't last very long. I still got a couple tail feathers to remember him by. Have a nice day.
Yeah, same to you.
Hi, this is Samantha. Wait for the beep. Beep.
Samantha, hi, Chris. Listen, I'm gonna have to bail tonight. Abby died last night, and, hey, it'd be great to have just snuggle and feel some body temperature, but I think I just gotta kind of be by myself, kind of indulge in total misery without worrying what kind of impression am I making. I know it's crazy, but I'll give you a call in the morning if you're around, and maybe we can still do something this weekend. So, love you. Bye. Abby, I met at the Sacramento SPCA. She'd been declawed and then trained as a fighting cat, which they toss into rings to fight other cats, dogs, raccoons. The guys had been arrested. I don't know why they declawed her, I guess to make the fights last longer.
Okay, well, she's yours if you want her, but I'm just warning you. She's a vicious little thing.
Oh, hold on.
Well, yeah, two other foster homes, they brought her back. She will absolutely not be touched. Mm-hmm. So, I'm telling you, if you want a pet to pet, this is not going to be your best pet.
No, yeah, I understand. I can
this
see,
vicious, hissing, spitting, gray thing cursing me through the cage.
You know, sometimes people think if they show enough affection, they can work wonders, but frankly, the only person she could tolerate was the bastard who made her like this.
Well, like a soul trying to get out of hell. When I saw her, I believed in hell.
Well, you know, she's had her tries, and she's really something, so this is it. If you bring her back, we're going to have to put her down.
Why did I choose her? She was a beautiful gray, golden eyes. I guess I understood her eyes. And the anger. And yeah, I thought if I showed enough affection, which had never quite worked for me in other relationships. They generally ended in catfights. I was pretty low at the time.
Why'd you call her Abby? That's a weird name for a cat.
It's what they called her at the pound. And then I remembered, there's this story my mom used to tell. A kid in her high school, a girl named Abby, and she said she had to work constantly, worked at her dad's filling station. Kids get out of school, they'd see her there, and she worked there, like, her whole life. And that just, it seemed right, stuck with me.
I think I better go.
Oh, well...
This concert is kind of getting on my nerves.
You want to get together tomorrow?
Let me give you a call.
Okay, yeah, or I'll call, yeah. Abby didn't help my sex life. There was some conversational value to start with, like how I found her and what a sweet, generous soul I was for saving her from death, but it kind of wore thin.
I mean, the problem, Chris, is, well, at a certain point, one kind of wonders. Why would you have a cat that you can't even pet?
What? It's not...
What is that about? I mean, is this your model for long-term connection?
No,
frankly, I've had it with codependent relationships, okay?
My friends had lots of different takes on it.
Dude, you look so miserable. What is wrong with you?
Sorry, man, I would...
It's your cat. I know it's your cat. I like anger. I like a loud cat.
Okay.
I can respect that, but come on, this is too much. You know, look,
well,
you got this cat. You know, no, come on. Pay attention. You got a cat. You're nursing it. You got this nurturing side. You got this soft side. You get really bonded.
Well,
what's that on your arms, man? You got scratches all over your arms.
Oh, yeah. There's claws on the hind
on
feet.
On the hind legs. Oh, okay. I see. I get it now. So you're here, and you're nursing the cat, going, nice kitty, nice kitty. And you feel this place in your heart where you can relate to that anger. But
yeah. No.
Along comes the back claws, and yeah! That ain't cool,
yeah,
man.
Well, no,
that ain't
I know.
Cool. You know, it's just like America. This is what's wrong with America.
With America,
you got a little microcosm. You got a little piece of America right in your apartment,
oh,
right
don't
there.
Start. We had this conversation.
Oh, come on. Just, you know, it's just like there's a terrorist, and you got to go over there and kick some ass. That's all they understand.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you go over there and
got
you try
this way.
And
you know, you
coddle them, and then they
understand.
Turn around and they jab you in the ass, man. You got to go over there and slap them. Bitch slap them. You got to bitch slap that cat. You got to show her who's boss. You got to teach her to respect
Jasper,
you. Fear and
Jasper,
respect.
Thanks for sharing. Hello?
Chrissy, hi. I'm sorry to call. I know you're busy.
Yeah, hi, Mom. I'm sorry. I hadn't called. I'm kind of disorganized right now. They're downsizing at work, and Abby's not doing real well also.
You still have that cat? I think you'd be happier with a dog. You're always telling me how standoffish that cat is. That isn't natural for a cat. There's something wrong with that cat.
Mom, I know.
I'm not telling you what to do. You know this is just your old mom talking. But you really used to like dogs. Remember Ladybug? You really loved Ladybug. Do you remember that time when she attached herself to the nose of the kid next door and she was hanging off it and you were like, Ladybug, Ladybug, let go, let go.
3 months. I kept thinking, be patient. For me, trust is a major issue. Commitment is commitment.
even if I've had a number of relationships where this feeling was not mutually shared. But even there, you don't take your girlfriend back to the girlfriend shelter and say, I can't deal with her, gas her. She ate what I fed her. She stopped actually hissing at me. There were times I felt, well, she can have the apartment, I'll sleep in the car. On two occasions, I woke up, she's staring at me, these deep, deep yellow eyes, like she wanted to rip out my throat. I thought, go ahead, look at me. I hurt too, you little bitch. And she padded off to the closet. It scared the hell out of me. And then, she had a weird ability to open doors.
Well, you let her out.
I let her out. She was an indoor-outdoor cat, but on that particular day when I left for work, she was in the house and she got out.
How could she get out?
She could hop up and sort of grab a doorknob with her front paws and swing.
You knew that.
And that would open it enough that she could nose the door the rest of the way open.
If you didn't lock it.
When she wanted out, she got out.
If you didn't lock it.
When she wanted food, she came in.
Maybe she won't.
The door was closed and she got out. And I came home.
And you came home.
I came home, she was on the porch, mostly on the porch. Her back paws were dangling just off the porch, and she was breathing real hard and looked up at me.
I think she looked at me.
And her back at the base of her tail was a bloody mess. And I touched her.
Didn't know how to touch her.
She let me touch her. I ran and I got a box and scooped her into it.
She let me touch her.
And I took her to the vet. And the vet said, well, I don't know. It had broken part of her back. But he worked on her, and I brought her home. The line of blood from the street was visible. She'd been hit in the road, pulled herself off the road, crawled across a parking lot, up a small dirt hill, and collapsed on the porch. She knew exactly where to get help, and that help would be given.
Yeah, just a small Americano decaf.
Room for cream?
Yeah, sure.
Is that a cat?
Yeah. Yeah, she got hit by a car. So I got this little cardboard box and pretty much nursing her around the clock.
What's her name?
Abby.
Hello, Abby.
Yeah, I had her 3 months. I got her from the pound. And the weird thing is, this is like the first time I've actually been able to pet her.
They really don't want people to have animals in here.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Hey there, St. Christopher. It's me, Jasper, man. Guess who's playing at the Fugazi tonight? Tin Hat Trio, baby. Tin Hat Trio. Let's go. Give me a call. You know the number. Beep.
Jasper, hi. Thanks. Thanks. I would love to, but what happened? Abby got hit by a car, and she's pretty bad. I'm gonna just have to stay with her, cause I don't know. Or I would. So I'll see you later. Thanks. It's Chris.
Oh my God, Chris. Oh my God. I am so sorry. That's Abby's your sister, right? I remember meeting her at Thanksgiving, and she was so sweet. I really felt this connection with her. She had really good eye contact and real presence. Really seemed like a caring person, and I hope that, you know, it's not too bad. Just all my prayers and thoughts are with the both of you, and just anything you need, man. I am there for you. Give me a call, please, right away. This is Jasper. Take care. Bye.
Hi, Jasper. Chris. Thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it. just so you know, Abby, I'm not sure who you met at Thanksgiving. But Abby's my cat. My cat that I got at the pound, and that reminded you of terrorists or foreign policy. She's not my sister. and so, man, thank you, and I'll see you later. Bye.
Okay, here we're here. All right, I'm putting you down here. Yeah, so, you want some water or... Yeah, right. No, water's for you, the beer's for me. All right. She lived in a small box by the side of my bed. I fed her with a bottle and wiped her butt with baby wipes.
Yeah, I know, me too. I had that kind of day. You were there.
During the 2 months of her recovery...
Hold on.
We spent almost every minute together. When I went to the store, Abby's box went along.
Oh, you want
to
be on the side?
I'd been laid off and working for a small business out of a private home. So her box was at the side of my chair.
I want some of this on, too.
I used to play Pink Floyd for her while I sat at the computer.
Right,
one hand dangling into the box to scratch her ears.
Get something to eat.
She loved Pink Floyd.
I don't know if you're hungry yet. I'm going to...
And I developed a very deep...
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
I was very lonely at the time, but it was more than...
Oh, man.
It was a bond. It was incredibly strong.
A few things to deal with.
They talk about witches having familiars.
Yeah, you couldn't see...
Kind of a sharing.
Man, she was giving me a hard time. I think maybe you've got a better attitude than I do for that. I just say no problem, and I started hissing at them. They get the message.
Mental sharing. Sometimes I'd light a candle to meditate, and she'd sit very near.
Maybe next time they come with these requests, I'll...
And then I could hear her.
Just see what you have to say.
In my head.
Yes.
And I never told people, really, because they'd think, he hears his cat. When she was able to come out of the box, she never hurt me again. And I never ever felt like I was alone. It was 6 years. Abby would not allow herself to be touched by anyone else, but I was trusted. And I'm... a very private person, but in that time, I became part of a tribe of happy, crazy people who had magical times and also pain and rage and love and joy. And I met Samantha. We've been together now a while, and now she's living here. And Abby did come to trust Samantha, despite the question of who slept in the bed. Sometimes, I actually asked myself, who do I love more, Abby or Samantha? And I thought, what a stupid question. What does that mean, to love more? Love is abundant. There's enough. The more you have, the more you have. And I would never have believed that, ever. Before. But cats don't live forever.
Hey, buddy, what's up? You look awful.
Thanks.
Hey, man, you sound real bad on the phone.
I just needed to talk to somebody, and Samantha's off visiting her parents, and if I call my mother, she's sweet and I love her like crazy, but she's gonna say something stupid. And if you say something stupid, that's just what our friendship's all about, so...
So what?
Abby died. My cat.
Yeah, I know your cat.
Yeah, she was having trouble breathing. I took her to the vet. The chest cavity was filled with fluid. He tried to draw it out, and the heart stopped. I was outside, and she was in there, and I felt her go. Jasper, don't laugh.
Hey, who's laughing?
I could hear her. It was like a tingle in the head. I said, come on, please don't die on me. And 2 minutes later, the vet came out to say she died.
I'm sorry.
And I could just hear my mom say, oh, that's too bad. Are you going to get another one? Like, if I had a wife and she died of breast cancer, would you say, are you going to get another one?
Chris, nobody said that. That's you saying that. I'm just really angry.
Yes?
Be angry. It's crappy. My brother died.
Can you give me a lift?
Okay, where are we going?
Sacramento.
Sacramento? Okay, why not?
I'll pay for gas.
No, it's my treat. Okay, so where do you want me to stop?
Just right here. Okay, hold on, I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
just, I gotta
I get out
go
of the car. Jasper says, where are you going? I said, I have to check something out.
Just hold on, I'll be right back.
How long do you want me to wait here?
And what I have to do is...
I'll be right back, I'm going over the hill.
We're at the street where it happened, where she was hit.
Okay, man.
It's...
I'll do that.
Pretty quiet street. They've done road work, they've resurfaced, but, over here, across from the fire plug, right there, is where there was a line of blood. And I can almost... It's very strong. I was thinking... I don't think Abby was remotely Christian, but, what do they call it? The Stations of the Cross. That's my journey. Walked that route. 30 feet from the white dividing line up to the porch with your rear end smashed. You go up from the line to the gutter. There's a little dip. Patch of grass. And then gravel. A lot of gravel. And then up a dirt mound with grass and flowers. Up to the edge of the porch. And up two steps. Inch by inch. And I walked all of those inches with my broken spine. And where was the point? Where does it come through that the dim little cat mind that this is home? I trust him. I'm crawling home.
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Were you looking for something?
No, I was just, I used to live here, just looking around.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah. Bye.
Fine.
Walking 30 feet with my enormous legs and unbroken spine. Hardest walk of my life. Now comes the harder one, moving on. Right now, I'm sitting by a stream where she spent the last 2 years. The water flows down the stream, parts and then flows together. Salmon swim here, upstream to their spawning grounds, and you see them die and desiccate. Bloated bodies bumping on the rock, the smell of death on the breeze, and the water flows. I took a small pinch of her ashes and mixed it with chamomile tea and drank it. Samantha's living here now, so it's easier. But I've had a period of unemployment, and I start getting into a mood. Do I have the strength? Up to the gutter, patch of grass, gravel, then up the dirt mound to the edge of the porch, where there's trust. Where it's home.
You are listening to Abby, written by Bishop and Fuller, based on a true story from our friend Steve Powell in Seattle. The actors were Eli Bishop as Chris, plus Elizabeth and myself, Randy Ellis, Sarah Savitz, Kim Tripsmith, and Duncan Sylvester of the Hitchhikers Ensemble, and Jennifer King from Sonoma County Repertory Theater.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map, and we'd like to hear your stories. If you think of something that might be good for the show, just email to us, info@hitching.org, and tell us a little bit about it. Or if you'd just like to respond to what you heard today, we'd really like to hear from you. That's info@hitching.org.
And enter our monthly story contest. Go to the website, www.hitching.org, for details, but basically it's 500 words or less, a new topic every month, and you can win a CD and share your experience with a bunch of people.
And hey, while you're there, look around the website. You can listen to any and all of our shows. You can preview the CD anthologies. You can read about our daily existence, read stories, get schedules.
Right now, we're in the middle of working on next month's show, and I really love it. Artists' Journeys. Artists make lots of journeys, on and off the road map, through the underworld, into the clouds. We'll talk to a young violinist who's moved from classical to experimental to rock to the indescribable music of Tin Hat Trio, a cartoonist who illustrates true travel tales, and a Vietnamese musician whose path has led him from a village in the Mekong Delta to Saigon to Paris to Ohio. Stories about finding voices and preserving voices.
Hitchhiking Off the Map is produced by The Independent Eye with funding from the National Endowment for the Arts and the Hitchhikers Guild. That's you. Think about joining. At one level, you can receive a subscription for a full year of the CDs of the show. 12 months, all 12, so you don't miss anything and you can share it with your friends. Visit our website, once again, www.hitching.org, and help us stay on the air.
This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller. Peace and joy.
Well, we have a special area on our property that we designated Broggy's place. It was one of his favorite places on our land, and he and his father gathered mushrooms there on an annual basis, and this place is meaningful to Freya now, and she is more likely to take us there to initiate a visit than either one of us is at this point.
Yeah, when we go for a walk on her property, a lot of times she'll say, "Let's go to Broggy's place first." And she'll take us up there, and there's a log there that we sit on and contemplate Broggy. Remember him.